Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, sports grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast that begins. And now I am Morenci. Let's do this thing. Obviously, it was a pretty crazy weekend. Over this weekend, and man, 2020 just keeps bringing it, doesn't it, man? Like honestly, just when you think, nothing else can happen, right? Like at this point, like nuclear war wouldn't surprise me. I'm not even exaggerating. Like at this point, guys, like what can happen? Like they would be surprising. Like nothing. This year just keeps coming. But I like to bring on different voices. It's been a little while. Since we've spoken and caught up to Danny B, and we spoke pretty much just as I think the virus had hit, and New York City was in the midst of a pandemic. Danny B steps up and in. Danny, thanks for joining us. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing good, pal. You made the right choice leaving the country up in Toronto, nice and safe so far. Anyway,
yeah, so far. Well, actually, there were protests over the weekend in Toronto. As well, and coronavirus is a big problem in Toronto. Not all parts of Canada is big. Canada is so spread out, right? It's such a big country, but it's very, like the U.S., every city is so close, Danny. You know what I mean? Like Canada, the major cities are all spread out. Like they're all like six hours apart, 5 hours apart. So it's a little bit different. But yeah, I got to tell you, my timing, it's unbelievable, isn't it? So you went to Pennsylvania. You know, we were in the same area in the Hoboken area, Weehawken, Hoboken area of Jersey/New York, North Jersey, New York. You headed to Pennsylvania just as the virus started to hit. I stuck it out through that, but, just with the timing and everything, and nothing was open, our studios weren't open. I just felt it was time to go and, spend a chill summer. At least I'm going to be going out west to Vancouver later in the week, actually, and setting up shop in Vancouver. For the summer, and we've got some late night stuff coming as well, so it all goes hand in hand. But looks like both of us made the right decision. And amazing, isn't it? It went from open up to, well, yeah, we opened things up by smashing every window. Things got pretty ugly over the weekend, Danny, in New York.
You know what? What happened to stay home and stay safe? I guess they threw that out the window. It's just sad, you know. The whole world's upside down. The virus, now this, and. You know, even prior to this, the impeachment process, the world's 2020, like you said, it's relentless. It hasn't stopped, and I don't see it getting any better. What we really need is Sportscape. You know, I know everybody can use a dose of something, hockey, baseball, something other than NASCAR and, you know, the fighting. And I think there's some soccer. We got some soccer coming back, I think, on June 17th over in Germany. You know,
Germany, Germany, Germany's been playing for a couple of weeks. England has been playing, but like you said, you know, and listen, I'm a pretty international gambler. I bet on a lot of different stuff, but it's different, you know, betting on a Korean baseball league game or something. You know, you don't want to put $500 down on it. You put $25-$50 recreational, right?
Cause, dude, I wouldn't even bet a wonton. I wouldn't bet a wonton soup on the Korean games. Not nothing. Not an egg drop soup, nothing. I'm sitting back waiting for, you know, traditional sports. There's nothing wrong with the fighting or the NASCAR or the horses, if that's your thing. You know, if you're good at it, so be it. You know, I like the ponies a little bit. I'll dabble with a horse or two just for fun. But as we talked in the past, I love my baseball, football. I welcome back any sport. And, you know, right now with people leaving their houses, rioting, why not have some fans in attendance? You know, if people ain't afraid to stand 6,000 deep on a bridge and almost get run over by a diesel truck or whatever that was, I'm sure we can fit 5,000 to 10,000 people in the stadium when they can feel somewhat safe.
You know what? On Saturday night, I saw the best tweet ever, actually. Not to make light of the situation, obviously, but somebody tweeted out, wow, looks like baseball. We have baseball. The protesters got into the baseball field in Cleveland. They're running around the field. So somebody said, it looks like we got baseball, guys. The protesters at Bridge Progressive Field in Cleveland. The protesters got on the field, Danny.
The people have spoken. The fans have spoken. They want their baseball. I want my MTV.
It's funny you say that, yeah.
But for me right now, yeah, we made the right choice. I left. I had a... Thank God, because I was in, you know, that Weehawken area. You got 500, 600 residents in those buildings, the elevators. So it was a good move. I got out there January 3rd. And I think the last time we chatted was right before the virus or the week of, you know, right when it first hit. You know, we've seen so much contradiction. I've been, you know, open-minded. I did the right thing. Listen, I don't mess with the crowds anyway, Gabe. When me and my wife go out, we leave at 4 o'clock to eat dinner before the masses. When I do go to a ball game, it's during the weekday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I avoid the crowds anyway. So for me, it's okay. This hasn't really affected me other than sports, you know, and making a living.
Yeah, that's the little part at the end. Like, I'm making a living. You dropped out of the part. You know, it's funny too, because listen, I do so many damn shows. I'm inside all the time anyways, Daddy. You know, I'm not doing these shows in the park, you know what I'm saying?
Right, I know. You are busy. You are busy.
Yeah, I was over at the Meadowlands every night, which, you know, at the time, little did I know how unsafe it really was with the pandemic like spreading through New York, and I'm there every night. But, yeah, I don't really mind. I mean, you know what I find funny, though? It's like, imagine, Danny, like, you see the pictures last week of all those idiots in the pool and the Ozarks and stuff like that.
That was nuts. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so, like, I'm thinking, like, even before the virus, like, if that many people were that close to you, you'd be like, get away from me, man. Like, I don't want you this close to me.
In general.
Suddenly it's a virus and everybody wants to sit on each other's lap suddenly. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I was never that touchy-feely person, you know, where you're on top of me breathing down my neck. I like my space. I mean it. Every trip that we make, vacation-wise, we try to do it during the week. We hit the beaches during the week. The casino I try to do during the week when I do go. So for me, you know,
like the Friday night at 2 in the morning in the casino.
You know, I've had many fights with my cousin because he's, you know, it's worth the wait. I'm like, no, nothing's worth an hour to get into a restaurant. I'm sorry, I ain't waiting no hour and a half for a steak. You know, so I was never the one. Even as I was younger, I did most of my stuff during the work week rather than, you know, the Saturday and Sunday stuff. But I'm anticipating something starting here in this new proposal, 114 games, Gabe, with playoffs extended, I guess, and the season ending the 31st, Halloween, right? That would be Halloween. What do you think? You think they're going to pull it off? I think if anything, right now would be what the nation needs to hear that baseball starts June 30th.
Yeah, baseball, listen, baseball would be symbolic, obviously. And, you know, it's, you know, Trump wants baseball back. Everything's political now, right? Like, if baseball's back, then sort of America's back in a sense in a different way than if they're playing hockey or NBA basketball. I don't know, Danny. You know, to be honest, I don't know if a lot of these owners even really wanted to play. I don't think,
you know,
the owners
now with
really...
the rioting. Now, excuse me, you got to factor in the riots too now.
Yeah, well, that's another thing, actually. We can get to that in a second. But even financially, I think they were just offering crap-ass deals all the time to make the players look bad and to set up the collective bargaining agreement coming up. They're going to go on strike next year. I mean, all hell's about to break loose. I think a lot of the owners never really had intention of wanting to play. So now you mentioned this new proposal. The player said, all right, listen, you know, we'll call your bluff, but at prorated salaries. We'll play 114 right. games so you guys can make more money for the television. And right. I like what the players did. I thought it was a pretty – listen, I think the players' compromise is fair. They already took a hit. They already lost 25% of their salary. Now they're willing to play. Yeah, there's no fans, but still. I mean, when there's more fans, they don't get more money. You know what I'm saying? And I like the fact that they said, listen, we'll play an all-star game and we'll do the home run derby for you. Sort of so you get more revenue. They said you can put more playoff teams in, so that's more playoff games. That's more revenue for you. I think the players are being more than fair right now. It's up to the owners, in my opinion. What's your take?
Well, I like this offer. I think it's a good counter offer. Whether they pull it off or not remains to be seen. I just want to see them play, man. They got to compromise. They're making a lot of money. You know, some can argue, you know, me at the first one, I said $35 million cut down to $8 million. That's a big hit. Maybe if they cut it when you're making $1 million and they cut it to $400,000, it's not, you know, you're getting paid for half the season basically, but losing $28 million. But at the same time, if they can suck it up, man, just for this, they don't do this. If they don't play baseball and then they go on strike next year too, what's left of it, you know? What's left of baseball? It was saved a few times. You know, we had the strike year. What was that, 94, when your Expos were kicking ass?
Yeah.
Timmy Raines. And did you have Ellis Valentine out there back there? Warren Cromartie. Were they part of that 94?
No, that was – you're going old school now.
Okay,
you're going before Gary was even on the Mets.
Yeah, that Warren Cromartie, just names of the past, you know, that's how my mind's coat. Thinking right now. You know what? I bring these
remember
names
the Expos,
up.
The Expos, remember, Danny, they used to have great outfields in those days. Remember Tim Raines, Andre right. Dawson, and Ellis
Andre,
Valentine. What an outfield.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, I brought out my baseball cards, and some of them date back to the early 70s, 1971. And that's why those names were on the top of my my head there. But, you know, and then the home run thing, Sosa, Maguire, et cetera, they turned baseball around. You know, so right now this is important that they come to terms on something. The owners got, they're billionaires, right? Figure that. A lot of these players are very wealthy. They don't have a worry in the world, but some do. The minor leaguers got affected more than anybody, but I like what some of these players and teams are doing, helping out the kids. And there's so much talent sitting down in those leagues down there, Gabe. So, you know what? I just bring the kids up. Let's get something going. If the big boys don't want to play, bring the kids up. Pay them something. Let's give us something.
They
some
fired. They already fired all the minor leaguers. Not all of them.
I know. But
you know what I mean? Like, that shows the owner intentions, though. Like, that they don't really care. I'm telling you, the owners, you know, the owners are, they're lying about their numbers. Like, nothing's honest about it. But listen, we've heard this. I tweeted about this morning. We've heard that before, that the game can't survive this, right? Like, that. I remember after the 94 strike, they said that. And it did take that sort of home run. The home run chase and all that, and everyone sort of knew, everyone was juiced, and they said, oh, baseball can't survive this after that. And it sort of does, but baseball's already taken a hit. I don't think it disappears or anything, Danny. It's not good for the sport. What'll make it look real bad, baseball, is if the NBA and the NHL are both playing. If they're both playing, then it looks bad for everybody with baseball.
Yeah,
right?
No doubt about that. You know, baseball survived the White Sox scandal, the Black Sox scandal, what was that, 1918 or something like that, Gabe, the betting scandal back then. They survived World War II, you know.
And the Spanish flu, the pandemic that was in the same era, 100 years
absolutely.
ago.
Absolutely. You know, Ted Williams and those guys went to war. I think Ted Williams missed 3 years, DiMaggio, I think, guys like that, Hank Greenberg. So, you know, for me, I love the game. I'm saddened by it, especially now with the riots and the senselessness.
Well, it's a great point that you brought up, Danny, that, all right, so let's say even they were going to bring baseball back. Remember, they wanted to play in the home stadiums and stuff, which I thought was kind of, I don't know, okay. But most of the governors and everybody sort of seems to be on board, as long as there's no fans. But now we're to the point, and, you know, look at the looting. Imagine, Danny, the damage or even the more people that could have gotten hurt over the weekend if places were open. Right. Like, there wasn't really anyone on the street besides, like, the protesters. You know what I mean? Imagine if it was just business as usual. And, you know, like I said, like, right now, you ain't playing baseball in Minnesota this weekend, bro. You know what I'm saying? No. Oh, yeah, we're playing baseball. Like, and it's not just Minnesota. There's everywhere. There's protests everywhere. Like,
it's horrible.
It's like,
game,
oh, yeah,
you know?
By the way, let's play ball, everybody. Like, I get it. It's going to temper down. But people are angry for real, you know?
Yeah, you know what? The lockup, the, you know, the frustration. And those cops were ridiculously wrong. I mean, they should all be arrested. I mean, they will arrest the other three, no doubt about it. But there's protocol. They got unions protecting them. There's a lot of red tape. But they will arrest them, and they should arrest them. They should all spend the rest of their lives in jail. There's more film out. I didn't see it, you know, resisting or whatever, but nothing constitutes that. That was evident. You're killing the fucking guy, you know, excuse my French. Yeah. But that was so, but what they're doing now, that doesn't justify what you're hurting your own. You're hurting people that had nothing to do with it, you know? So your voice is heard. Protest, do it the right way. These savages that are coming in from other states, whether they're being paid or not, you hear this, you hear that. I just, as a 58, soon to be 58 years old, it just breaks my heart because I have young kids and I fear for them. And, you know, they're confused. You know, they don't know what to think. We're not even saying right now, even if they said school starts next year, I'm homeschooling both of my kids. They're going to spend the next year being homeschooled. And maybe the following year, I let my kid go off to middle school, you know, so that's what we're doing as parents. I'm not having my kid go back to school with a mask, can't play in a school ground, can't switch classrooms. You go to school to interact for that experience. And if it's not there, then you're going to stay home and we don't have to worry about getting up an hour earlier. How's that? So we'll solve that problem, you know. But, you know, I would hope they get it together. I do like the players' mindset on this. The owners need to suck it up too. You know, at first I was like, just play, regardless. Pay me $100,000 and I'd play that game, just like Rusty Staub did and the fellas back in the day. Daryl Dawkins in his heyday just skimmed a little over $1 million, you know, when he played back in the day. I remember him telling me endless times, I wish I was born 20 years later in life, you know. I just love the game so much. And, you know, I look at these old films like when it was a game. You ever see that stuff, Gabe? I'm sure you have. The old black and whites, or how
but
it
as
was.
As you stated, it's a lot to ask. And if someone's making that much money and you want them to take that much of a pay cut, who's to say the owners aren't going to ask you to do it again, right? Like, you have a contract and, you know, the Major League Baseball owners are trustworthy. And as you mentioned, so look, no one's going to cry. All right, Gerrit Cole makes a lot of money. So as they said, so Gerrit Cole is supposed to get $36 million this year. Under the agreement that they offered, it was $8 million. All right? But then
personally, I think that's all he's worth anyway. I think he's going to have a down year anyway.
I know. I think he is overhyped. I agree. But I'm just stating, then suddenly you get taxed, Daddy. And then suddenly you got $4 million. Then he's got $4 million. Then he's like, all right, I'm supposed to get 36 and I'm getting 4. I'm taking much bigger percentage of a loss than my billionaire owner is. Steinbrenner ain't losing that much money in a percentage-wise. Like, the owners aren't being real. They get $11 billion coming in. Like, I saw the numbers. So it really is $11 billion. It's like $10.9 billion. They only pay $4.1 billion in salaries. Like, they're lying. They're not losing $4 billion. They're just not making $4 billion this year.
And they can write off their losses. But my opinion, they should have never let it get this far with these salaries hitting these
types
of numbers.
They did it to themselves. All right, hey, hold that thought. We'll hit it on the other side. Gabe Morenci Unfiltered. Continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Jim Filter continues. We're kicking it with Danny B from Danny B Sports. And, Danny, you just brought something up as we were going out there that, you know, the owner sort of brought this upon himself, right? They let this get this to this far. And you remember
going back to 1994,
it was the same thing. Remember, it was all about our salaries are out of control. We can't continue at this rate. Like the owners, it's out of, you know, we can't pay you guys this much money anymore. And so there was the strike slash lockout, whatever the hell you want to call it. I guess it was a strike. The players shut it down. And they thought the owners would bend, and then they didn't. But then right after that, when they came out of that, I think it was the White Sox gave Albert Bell, like, this massive contract.
Yep, exactly.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, the first contract out of the gate. We gave Albert Bell with a bat back $200 million. It's like, guys, we just sat out for 4 months and didn't do a World Series because you said you didn't have money. And right. Then suddenly you come flying out and overpay someone again. Yep. It's like nobody ever had a gun to anybody's head, right, to give any of these players these contracts.
Exactly. You know what? I think, Dave, who was the first $1 million? Was it Catfish Hunter, Dave Winfield, Reggie Jackson, one of the above, you know, which was a lot of money back in the mid-70s. Personally, I would set, you know, a minimum number. Here's what you get if you're in the league, $10 million max. That's more than enough to play any game. I'm sorry. $10 million is more than enough. I don't care. And they do have to remember they are the owners, though. You work for them. They don't work for you. I mean, you can complain to your bosses and say, hey, you guys are making this, and I'm only going to see if they're going to give you any extra. So, you know what?
Well, what they should do then, the salary cap then. That's the whole system, because you can't just let the owners keep all the money.
Absolutely. Right? Listen, here's one. Make it affordable for the fan to go back where he can spend $50 for a family of four again, you know, and have a hot dog without busting out the bank. You go to a ball game, man, you need a nickel. You need $500 to take four people there when you're talking dogs, you know, the beer or two.
Yeah, but you know what? That once again falls on the owners. The players aren't the ones setting the beer price. The owners, the players don't even get any money from that.
Well, like, that's
the players don't have any money.
They got to pay the salary. So take away from everybody.
Yeah, but they're making that's the dirty secret with baseball. The television contracts alone pretty much pay for the salaries. Like, so.
Well, not according to the owners. Like, not if you ask the owners. They lose money if they relied strictly on the rights, the TV rights.
Yeah, they're lying. And the players know that.
So you think they lie? You think they would lie like that? You know what? That's a good one.
I'm just. Well, listen, the players actually stated, because the owners were like, all right, we'll split the revenue 50-50. So then the players' association said, all right, so show us what the revenue is. And then the owners didn't want to do it, right? Because they're privately led companies. They don't have to let you know what they're making. Well, so secretly, the Yankees and these teams, they don't want their players knowing that, oh, my God, I had no idea these guys were making $290 million a year off of parking. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't want them knowing these things, right? Because then the players will say, F you, I know you can pay me more. I know I saw how much money you're making from popcorn sales. They'll be like, but, you guys made $78 million from selling beer last year, right? Like, they don't want the players knowing all this stuff.
Right, but look what the owners did over the years, even in the 30s, 40s, you know, they basically, you don't like it, you're gone. And those players made nothing. The owners made money. Maybe the television wasn't there. You know, the advertisement, they were still making nice money on advertisement, billboards, radio ads, newspaper, whatever. But they were ruthless back in the day, you know, those owners. It was their way or the highway, you know. And what did the average player make back? What did Williams make in his heyday? Think about it. What was his best year? Did he make $500,000, I think, maybe?
Even at the time, though, it was on, for the record, so we can confirm, the first million-dollar player was Nolan Ryan.
Nolan Ryan. Okay.
Yeah, okay. 1980. Yeah, I remember it. I brought up Gary Carter.
Okay, I thought it was in this. I thought Catfish Hunter caught $1 million deal when he came over from the A's to the Yankees.
No, 1980, Nolan Ryan became the first million-dollar player when he signed a four-year contract with the Houston Astros.
All right, so the first million-dollar contract was different because it wasn't $1 million a year, but they were guaranteed $1 million or something like that.
But $1 million a year, yeah, it was 1980. Because I remember.
And he deserved it. I mean, his numbers, when you look at Nolan Ryan, the strikeouts at the Cy Youngs and all that stuff. But his win-loss record was, what did he win, 20 more games than he lost? Some could say he played for some crappy teams. The Angels were horrible. But,
he was a lot of bad teams.
Yeah, he was. The Mets, they should have never let him go for Jim Fregosi. You know, that's who they traded him for, if you remember. Good promising second baseman for the Angels. You know, that's one thing about baseball. I can think back like yesterday and these names just pop up. And that's why I just want the game I love so much. And I was out there actually today before you even contacted me, swinging a bat in the driveway, just bored. Like, let me get out there and pretending the pitch was coming, moving my hips. You know, I'm anxious to get out there, even watch my kids play. You know, it's really sad. My little boy's a...
Is there any Little League baseball coming up this summer?
Not here, pal. You know, even though I'm in Pennsylvania, our counties are still on lockdown. You know, for some reason we got hit more, I guess, because a lot of people live here. I mean, they travel to New York, they work in New York. You know, even me, when I was in Allentown, I was traveling up there to the station... What the hell, where Carton and you guys did your show there? I forgot the name of the studio, 34, right?
Studio 34, yeah.
You know, I was up there once a week, and, you know, I saw a talk.
Yeah, you guys were across the street, right, at WABC?
Well, I did that afterwards. You know, before I got involved with Sid, I was over there doing the show with Matt McCarthy, as we discussed there.
Yeah.
Called Gotcha Covered Sports. You know, we did about 6-7 shows today together, and then we just couldn't. Our chemistry, you know, was good, but we couldn't see the eye to eye on anything. So we parted. You know, it was my childhood friend too. You know, who has a rugby show. Matt's good. Good dude. He's knowledgeable, great on air, but we just couldn't see eye to eye as far as business, and that happens a lot. Me and Matt were fighting as kids when we were 10 years old. Trying to compete for the first spot on the last spot on the basketball team. So I knew it would be challenging dating back to the 70s, but we almost pulled it off. But one good thing I got out of Matt is I got to meet a lot of guys over there. John Layfield, of course, came from Matt McCarthy. But getting back to where I'm at now, we're still on lockdown, and I think parts of Jersey are breathing better than we are. You know, we Hawkins on lockdown. My friends say that you have to wear masks when you're in public. There's a curfew in Weehawken, so you left just in time, pal.
Oh no, I was there for 2 months through that, or 2.5 months. Yeah. Well, you know, when they say curfew and lockdown and everything, it sounds a little bit more extreme than it was. Like, you have to wear a mask when you went into a store. You know what I mean?
Okay, but not on the streets. They were telling me.
No. Cops weren't stopping people on the street. Like, people were. Like, basically, people on the street would have them around their necks, and when they go inside, they'd put them up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything, you know, the stores were, most of, like, the stores were closed. But it was one of these deals where it didn't affect my life. Like, the only stores I ever went to were open. Michael's Pizzeria, Malibu Diner. CVS, Trader Joe's was all like, so stuff was open really, Danny. You know, in Hoboken, the only thing was it shut down at 8. You had to order. If you were going to order food, you had to order before 9:15 because they weren't allowed delivering after 10. So it was just sort of like stuff like that. But it wasn't like totalitarian or anything like that. Like people were walking around at nighttime, walking their dog. Like the cops weren't stopping people or anything. You know what I mean? It was just, yeah. But it is true. No mask, no service in stores, though.
Well, the same here. You know, the same applies here. But yeah, I was surprised. I thought we'd be one of the first to open up. But the whole, I'm in the country, kind of, but you know, 5-minute ride. I'm in Easton. They had their little thing last night.
Little league ball, though, is safe, right? I mean,
I'm sorry. You know what? They ain't doing it. Actually, they gave us a refund for the, you know, the $75 to sign up. So that's done. There's nothing going on here. We have some nice fields here by us, so like, I'm gonna start I'm gonna take the kids out there. You know, there's some cages and stuff like that, so I'm gonna make the most of it, pal. It's just, you know, I'm just saddened by all this. I just want to see the nation. Hey, first of all, no more riots. That's enough. You made your point. People are gonna start getting killed. You know, what's it gonna take? People to see people being shot down before it stops, and I don't want to see it get that far. And you know, the cops are going to pay the price. They gotta, you know. But all of this is not good. It just needs to end. And
yeah, you know, I understand, and I don't advocate it. I wouldn't be doing it. I'm older now, etc. So I see sort of the big picture, and I can even understand people frustrated. All right, we smashed the bank, or we smashed, you know, a symbol of something. But when you start stealing stuff, and it's like just about grabbing shoes out of a window and about grabbing clothes out of a window and stuff like that, you're not standing for anything. You're just a punk then. Yeah, like you're not. Yeah, That's not honoring George Floyd at all by stealing other people's stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like I said, I don't even advocate. I think the peaceful protest is better. But like I said, I can understand like a mob smashing things, but I don't. The stealing part's just dumb. And as you stated, you know, violence begets violence. That's the problem, right? There's so many sad videos of all sides of it, right? Of cops being jerks, of the mob being jerks. I mean, they set fire to a homeless guy's stuff.
That's sad. I don't know.
Like, you're protesting, and you like, this poor guy's homeless. He's standing there, and he's got a mattress and all of his belongings, and they set it on fire. It's like, dude, like, how are we? Yeah, you're really showing the cops by burning a homeless guy's stuff, right? Like, it's just like they're just morons. Like there's nothing symbolic behind it. That's the stupid stuff.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's gone too far. My cousin's in California. He was saying, you know, we all have our stories. My buddy's a jeweler in New York, and he's, you know, he finally just got back to work, and now he can't go back. But they stopped this lady on the way to the hospital with her kid, just taking the kid to the hospital. You know, rioting, shaking the car. Thank God they got the kids okay, but that's just one of many sad stories. You know, it's just like you said, the bank is one thing. The police station, yeah, but the guy just trying to make a living, the little guy with the lottery store selling cigars or boutiques, you know, they robbed the Rolex. You see, they cleared out that Rolex joint in New York like it was nothing.
See, I just sort of laugh at. They cleared out the Rolex. Yeah, you're right.
They gutted that place pretty quickly. But, you know, they're really orchestrating this, too.
Don't worry, Danny. They'll be looking for the video of that Rolex place, brother.
That's one place. Me, I'm walking around just protecting my memorabilia. You know, I'm walking around with my batch and my one pistol that I have.
You were going to say, that stuff is organized, man. You know what I mean? Like when you get the high end stores and all that.
Absolutely.
Like I saw John King, the NYPD spokesman. He actually said, and you know, I respected his honesty. He said, you know, most of the protesting was pretty peaceful. He said there's going to be punks everywhere. He said things got out of hand, but he said a lot of the smashing stuff was actually organized. It wasn't the protesters. Like the cops even saying that. They said it was sort of organized crime, like they knew, like people planned it, saying, all right, we know they're going to be rioting, so let's go smash up Soho and rob the Rolex store.
Listen, a thief's a thief. They're going to take advantage of any situation. You know, unfortunately, it's something sad like this. Good thing that the family, the Floyd brothers, spoke in behalf. Yeah. And, you know, that was nice. It was touching. We need the athletes to not, I think LeBron was, enough's enough. And Michael Jordan even. But they need to be more positive right now. It's been a week of rioting. And you know what? People are going to get hurt. And that's the sad part. They might have rocks and stones, but cops have automatic weapons and things above. That's
flying. That was some crazy shit, Danny, when you saw it on Friday when they were rocking the fence at the White House.
That's it. I mean, if they took the president in the bunker, real quick-like. But you ain't messing with that place. I mean, the crazy. You know, we have stuff flies over you. Boom, that's it. You're done. Boom, one little pass, you're gone.
Yeah, like you said, too, all it takes, like going back to remember the old days with Kent State University, right?
Right.
It just takes one shot, and then it's a whole new thing on again.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like, I told my kids, about that. It was 1968, was it, or early 70s? 72 or 68. I remember that. I was just a kid myself when that happened. You know, I grew up, I was born in 62, and, I remember hearing the races and stuff back in the day, and I thought we were beyond that, and it seems like we set ourselves back 30, 40, 50 years or more, and it's sad, and that's why sports unites us, black, white, Spanish, it does, Canadian, et cetera. It unites us. And all of these cops were from different backgrounds, right? They were four different races, ignorance. That's what it comes down to. I mean, it doesn't.
Well, that's kind of one of the things. That's kind of interesting you said that, too, because not all cops are jerks, but it also proves that sometimes it's not even racism. They're just jerks. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm sure, you're white. I'm sure you've had a white cop be a jerk to you before I have. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I've had white cops be jerks to me all the time. Not all the time. I've also had a lot of guys be nice to me.
Ignorance is ignorance. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you know what? And we also lost a black, it wasn't a federal agent, or somebody killed in California, a black agent over this, It's sad, and it's not the end of it. It's not the end of it. You know, like they say, during a crisis, people take advantage of it politically, and even the criminals, they love this. This is right up to, and now we can wear masks. Now we can wear masks. So now we have that much of think about it. When you're robbing a place, you should be wearing a mask anyway.
It helps. Yeah, it helps them.
You would think. But some of these guys are, the bumbling bandits. They think they're thieves, but they're not. And those Rolex guys, believe me, they will hunt them down. they will find most of them.
Yeah, yeah. If you stole a pair of Nikes, the cops aren't chasing you, but I guarantee you, NYPD, major crime unit, is like, yeah. We're tracking down that $9 million worth of Rolexes.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Probably be in excess of that, give or take. Those things range from 20 grand to...
Oh, you know, there were some nice ones there. All right, hold on, Dan. We'll take a quick break. We got one more segment left.
You got it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Red Sea Unfiltered continues. We've got one last segment left with Danny B. Danny B Sports, been a pleasure. talking sports and the world scene current situation right now. But I got to tell you, Danny, one of the reasons I thought of you actually this morning, I got a laugh out of it, was I saw Lenny Dykstra's libel suit versus Ron Darling toss because he's already so tarnished. And man, that's cold. Like, you know, the one that say that, they're like, your reputation is so bad, you can't be tarnished. And I remember when this lawsuit was filed, Ron Darling's attorney said this at the time. He said, you can't sue us. He said, your reputation's so bad already. Like, we didn't do anything to make it any worse. And Lenny Dykstra went on. And if you recall, Ron Darling wrote a book, 108 Stitches, Loose Threads, Ripping Yarns, and the Darndest Characters from My Time in the Game, in which Darling claimed Lenny Dykstra shouted racial taunts at Red Sox pitcher right. Dennis Oil Can Boy.
Yep, absolutely. Yet,
we should note that not even Oil Can Boy confirmed that. Oil Can Boy said, no, I don't know. He said, I didn't hear him say anything. And everybody around, players on both teams, said, we didn't hear Dykstra say anything. They said Dykstra was mouthy and used to talk a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah.
They said he wasn't, there was nothing any racial. Like, nobody confirmed it. Remember, exactly. Like, even Daryl Strawberry said, man, the guy's full of shit. He's not. Like,
yeah,
never,
exactly. You know, like, good in his rough. You know, it's funny you say that, because one of the first shows I did at the station, and I had my show, I did like 19 or 20 shows last year, and one of the shows, the topics was the Dykstra-Darling incident. And Lenny, you know, because he was on Sid's show, he heard me or saw me posting it, and he wanted the copy of it to hear my take, and he complimented me for being fair about it. And we developed a little relationship, you know, secretly on the Twitter, the private messages, you know, nothing major. I invited him to come on. I haven't heard from him in a bit, but you know what? I was always a Dykstra, and I was a Darling fan, you know. But yeah, Lenny's been through a lot. He had his little 2-year countdown. If you watched on Twitter, he was counting down the days that he can be 2 years free of an arrest. I guess that was a record.
I remember. Yeah. I love his sense of humor. Yeah, I love his sense of humor.
Good. And you know what? He's not there. You know, you can see when he talks, he's not coherent half the time. But you know, I didn't even read the book at all. You know, again, I just a Met fan back in the day, and that's the last I got out of him was the '86 World Series. They gave me a little thrill with the Royals and the Yankees. That was 2000 already, 20 years ago. Wow. Gary Carter. And
yeah, the Subway
not
Series.
Gary Carter, I'm sorry. Carter was 86. Piazza in 2000.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Clemens threw the bat at him.
What was his name? Benny Biani? Benny?
Yeah.
Hawaiian dude. But yeah, dating back to Dykstra, he's quite the scrappy guy. You know, I was sad when he left the Mets. I had a friend that played a lot of poker with him in Vegas, and he said he was quite the card. Generous guy, but once he got on the powder, once he got a little too much, you know, he lost his control.
Yeah, yeah.
Drugs will do that. Drugs will do
that's
that.
The thing. You know, a lot of guys are like that, where they're fun to party with, but you got to know, all right, this is where we last drink, and I'm getting away, because things start getting crazy with the guy soon.
Absolutely. I partied hard in the 80s with a lot of the Giants and the New Jersey Generals, and there was a bar in what the hell's the name? Hackensack. Was it Hackensack? Or Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, where they all used to go to. You know, it was a hotel down there. They had a bar, and I wound up meeting a lot of the players, you know, and I had all the white girls with me, you know, a slew of them. And they all wanted to know me. Plus, I knew where to get the extracurricular activities. You know, I'm hanging out with this guy without dropping names. I'm hanging out with this guy or that guy. And wow, this is cool. But like at 6 o'clock in the morning, listen, they're not cool no more. They need to go home. They become weird and they go over the top. And I can throw a bunch of names at you, but yeah, some of those guys go over the top, especially the ones that have got the name and, you know, famous and they don't want to pay for anything either half the time. But I heard Lenny was quite the generous guy, you know, but a little over the top when he did a little too much. And been there, done that myself. I talked about my incident in Montreal.
You know what's strange,
back
though, about that? I was just going to say, though, with that is that I'm a big fan of Ron Darling as well. And, you know, it just seems strange because Ron Darling is a great analyst, pretty straight shooter. You know what I mean? So right. It just seems strange that he put that in a book, like, especially considering that it's probably not true. Like, yeah, I actually believe Lenny Dykstra.
Me too.
Somebody else would have confirmed it. Yeah, absolutely. Somebody else would have confirmed it, right? Not one person did.
you know, and you're yelling, they're all yelling names back in the day. But no, I remember hearing that. Nobody would co-sign Ron's, you know, his attestment to what happened. And there was no reason to throw that stuff in the book anyway. You know, did it make that much of a difference?
But, no, exactly. Like, it's not like, it wasn't a major story. It had nothing. And like I said, too, you know, I'm sure Darling had enough stupid, funny Dykstra stories. Oh, yeah, Lenny rolled in once from a hotel that he could have put in. The Dykstra should have said, yeah, that's true. I did that. Like, you know what I mean? But I think to say that, like...
One of the first books, you know, Jim Bounton, I remember, if you remember Ball Four, he wrote a book about the Yankees. I think that was the first time somebody started talking about the locker room stuff, talking about...
Yeah, he got blackballed.
Yeah. He wound up playing independent ball. I played against him in the late 80s. He was pretty good, though, not for nothing, even in the late 80s. You know, those independent leagues, little pickup leagues and stuff. But, yeah, he was one of the first ones to write those books that talk about the stuff you're not supposed to talk about, or they would hope you don't talk about. You know, it was no secret in 86 when Daryl Strawberry and Gooden didn't show up to the parade. I was saying to my cousin, I said, he's tweaking. He ain't coming out right now. He's looking out of his hotel in Manhattan, watching the ticker tape parade and Davy Johnson, like, where the heck is he? You know, that's another guy I love, and he's a train wreck. Gooden, this time last year, I think it was right around June 1st, I played in a softball tournament to honor some of the fallen from 9/11, my hometown. And Gooden was there. I took some pictures with him, and it was so sad to see him, Gabe. He looked like a train wreck. Actually, he got arrested like 9 days later. But his attire, he had this huge stomach, like a stomach with a stomach on it. I felt bad, like maybe he had a tumor growing in his belly. It was that bad. And it was like, but I did have a nice walk and talk with him. I just thanked him for all the good memories, you know, what he meant to me when I was younger and how he got me through some hard times. Because he was fantastic to watch in his prime, you know. If you kept Strawberry and Doc healthy, their talent was endless. Their possibilities were endless, you know, but shortened by the drugs, alcohol, and fame.
It's crazy. Like, if you look, it used to be the debate at the time was Clemens or Gooden, right?
Right.
You know, that was the big, Clemens is the best. No, Gooden is the best. And, you know, Doc Gooden ends up like with some, you know, personal problems and substance abuse issues. And Roger Clemens sort of persona non grata now, right? Yeah. You know, people, you know, slight steroid use. You know, he was great already, right? I mean, people can say what they want about that. It is what it is.
Nah, he was great now.
It's just it's the way he handled it. And he never admitted it, right? He went into FU mode. He was just, quite frankly, kind of a jerk. But you know what I'm saying? We don't see them around for different reasons. You know what I mean? Gooden isn't in good enough shape to be on ESPN right now. And Roger Clemens is, like, unwanted anywhere. You know what I mean?
You know what? You're right. He's kind of bowed out of it, and he could have handled that better. But then you had Rafael Palmeiro lying, completely lying, and, you know, Canseco's book didn't help them all. But I really loved the Rocket. You know, I thought he was fantastic. Him and those socks with Wade Boggs back in the day. Who was that? Dwight Evans? Was it Dwight Evans back in the day? Who had that right arm? He had the right fielder. Great arm. You know, Dewey Evans, Mike Greenwell, I think they had.
I was just tweeting about Jim Rice earlier this morning.
Jim Rice played with Lynn and Evans. They were great together. But Mike Greenwell, somebody had a rocket in Rice.
Yeah, Mike Greenwell, I remember him.
Yeah, he had a rocket back in the day. But, you know.
The Red Sox were hateable because they didn't hit yet, right? Like, it was like, yeah, whatever, these guys are all right. Then they win a couple of times and they become obnoxious pricks.
I wear a Boston hat, not because I'm a fan, because it's B for Bianculo, you know, and it matches a lot of the stuff I wear. But I remember...
We got to get you a Brooklyn hat instead, brother. Come on.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? There you go. I can don a Brooklyn hat. I like the way they look. But I watched a lot of Boston back in the day when they played Cincinnati in a World Series. Do you date back that far to Bernie Carbo?
That's the first World Series that I watched, actually, that I remember. I grew up in Montreal. We had Boston. There's only a few networks in those days, right? But I used to get like on a UHF. Remember, you go to like channel U, you start moving the years around and stuff.
Yeah, moving the antennas.
Yeah.
Little tinfoil.
Boston.
Yeah, I used to get Red Sox games. But in those days, it's like, you know, two games a week on TV, right?
Yeah.
So now, like, the Tuesday night game or the Wednesday night game and the weekend.
There was Monday night baseball.
NBC.
You know, Monday Night Football, days. Monday Night Baseball, they featured a lot of the swinging A's, Joe Rudy and company back in it. Now, they were colorful. That was, you know, when I really started falling in love with baseball. The Mets, of course, I became a fan when they won the World Series in 69. I got to meet Buddy
Harrelson. I was excited about the Mets season for this year, actually. And I still have if they play. Like, you know, in a shortened season, they'll be dangerous. It's too bad.
And I'm hoping Pete Alonso has a good second year. Hope he doesn't get hit with that rookie that sophomore curse, rather. I like him overall as a person. But, yeah, as a fan, I think they had a good chance this year. Yankees, of course, too. They're, you know, no matter how injury-prone they are, they have a stacked team, and they'll win 110 games regardless of who's pitching or not. But not this year. They'd have to go 110-4 to pull that off. I don't think that's going to happen with 114 games. But I had them.
It's funny. Last year I didn't buy in. I was like, you know what? I didn't like the pitching fully. I just saw that they strike out too much. They don't play contact enough. I was like, you know, they're not going to win a World Series. And it upset people in New York. You know what it's like, especially there, man. New York radio. It's like anytime you say anything about the Yankees, everyone's like, ooh, where are you going with this, right? So I just said they strike out too much. They don't play contact ball enough, and they're pitching. But bringing in Gerrit Cole, I would have liked to see him get Stroman last year, but I'm glad he's on the Mets. But I'm just saying, I like the Yankees coming into this year. If you look at the American League, the Yankees were going to be next to impossible to beat them.
You know what, though? Here's my thing on Cole. You know, when he come over from Houston, he was at Pittsburgh, right? How was his career in Pittsburgh? He wasn't that
impressive. They were cheating in Houston, right?
Well, there you go. And you know, and this helps them. You know, the downtime, people, like, forget about it. You know, out of sight, out of mind. But we got to remember, they cheated. Whether, you know, the bat, how they did it, regardless, they cheated. And they got caught. You know, but I don't think he's going to have the year Yankee fans hope he has. If he pitches 500 ball, I think that's about it. I think his ERA will be in the high threes.
Wow.
I think he's going to have a rough go at it. You know, I don't think he's what they make him to be. You know, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. You know, I could be wrong, but I'm not big on these huge salaries like that anyway. You know, I'm looking around my office and I look at the old players like Seva for one and George Brett and Willie Mays and shit. I got Sandy Koufax. You keep going. Duke Snyder, Campanaris, Bert Campanaris, Roy Campanella. I'm just looking around and that's the baseball that I remember, you know. And they played hard and they had other jobs a lot of the time, you know. They had to work in the winter months. Carlton Fisk, you know, another great ball player. Oh, and here's one you might like, the great one, Gretzky over in the corner. Now, that was a ball player. Walter Payton, Tom Seaver, and Jerry Kuzman dumping champagne on each other. I bring chills. I broke out that baseball card collection. I do that every so often just to remind me. And I can still smell the bubble gum on the back of the cards. Remember the bubble gum they used to stick in the back?
Yeah.
It still has the scent of that, and it's just amazing. I hope we get something going here, and shame on the owners if they can't meet the players here somewhere along the line. I think the players are being fair at this point with their proposal. Hopefully on June 30th, we'll see some baseball. I did predict, if you go back to my tweets back in, I don't know, March, April, whenever they first started canceling this, I said they'll be back by middle of June or late June or by the 4th of July to celebrate our new independence. Baseball's back. America's back. But we have no place to play because they burnt down all the stadiums. That's the problem.
And the thing is, too, I think we're looking at, even now, if everything fell into place, I think you're really safely more looking at mid-July. They would need another 3 weeks of training. Like, a lot of these players aren't even in America right now.
No,
you know what I mean? They'd have to get back. I think you'd be looking at mid-July. Might have to get to a point, too, where they played a World Series on a neutral field.
Especially Yankees. They'll probably be in it, and it ain't going to be nice.
Saying. Let's say it's mid-November or something, right? You set it up. If everyone knows before, it's like, whatever, guys. We're playing the World Series in L.A. We're playing it you know, it'll be neutral field, right? We'll say, all right, if the Dodgers are in it, we'll play at the Angel Stadium. You know what I'm saying? Sure. So it's not their home, absolutely, whatever.
Yeah. I had a chance to speak, he was on my show a couple of times, the former Yankee strength and conditioning coach, Dana Cavalea. He says the players, 4 weeks for the players, pitchers need about 6 weeks, you know, if they've been, you know, in shape. If, like you said, they're, some of them ain't even here in the U.S. They're partying their faces off right now, enjoying it, you know. Some of them say, you know, like Mike Trout, players like that, Harper, you know.
Yeah, no, I think most of them are in shape. You know what? A lot of them, some of them went back. I you know, some of them went to the Dominican Republic and stuff. But, and we got to get out of here in a couple of seconds. But a lot of them, are in Florida still, Daddy. You know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of the Mets just stayed at the spring training facility.
Yep, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
They're
actually
just sort of hanging out there.
Glendon Rush, he pitched with the Mets for a bit. He pitched with a few teams. He was telling me he was down there, and he said the same thing. A lot of the players, especially the younger ones, just stayed down there, you know, to keep their skills up.
Yeah, they were there when the shutdown happened. All right, so where can people find you, Danny?
Well, easy enough. It's dbwins.com, dbwins.com on social media, Instagram and Twitter, at Danny B Sports Gabe. I tell you what, this was a fun show. I'm a big fan of all your work. You know, I wish you continued success, and there's something bigger out there for you, Gabe. I don't know what it is, but you got that wow power. You know, I see you having a nice national show one day.
I appreciate the kind words while we do, and we'll spread the word because we have a new national show coming soon, actually. But thank you for the kind words, Danny. It's always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Back at you. Enjoy. Be safe up north, pal.
Danny D. Danny B's horse.
Be good, pal. Bye-bye.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.